Johnson has it. Comes out in front, drops it off. They score! The Predators tie the game. It's Gaudreau. Puck sent ahead by Josi. Turned back by the Penguins. Here they come. And it's Gensel with a shot. He scores! Penguins take a 4-3 lead by Bonino. Shoots for the empty net and scores! With 62 seconds remaining, 5-3 Penguins.
Westwood One Sports sounds of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup as the Pittsburgh Penguins grab a 5-3 victory over the Nashville Predators. Nick Bonino leads the way for the Penguins with 2 goals. Sidney Crosby, he finished with 2 assists. Now, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup will take place tomorrow. Pittsburgh looking to become the first repeat champions in close to 2 decades. In the NHL. Joining us over the phone right now to break down Game 1 and to talk hockey in general, we have a very special guest. He spent 14 years in the NHL, spent some time with the Edmonton Oilers, the New York Rangers, and the Chicago Blackhawks, as well as the Vancouver Canucks. He now works for TSN Radio 1260 in Edmonton. Jason Shrewdwick. Jason, it's a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you for taking out the time to join us.
Oh, thanks for getting me on. I love talking about the NHL these days.
Yeah, you know, it's a fun time. It's a fun time. And I'll admit, we don't talk a whole lot of hockey here on Drive Time Sports. But when you get into the Olympics and when you get into the Stanley Cup, I think those French fans, they kind of find a way to glom on to the sport. I mean, it's a unique time, to say the least.
It sure is. You know, when you're seeing some of the top players in the league, if you've never watched hockey before, now's the time to watch it. Tune in and watch the Pittsburgh Penguins playing against Nashville. The Penguins, their captain, Sidney Crosby, respected widely as one of the top two, if not the best player in the NHL. Another player on Pittsburgh is Malkin, number 71, one of the top centers in the league. On the other side of Nashville, Pekka Rinne, he stands about 6'7", 6'8". He's a goalie, and he is one of the best goalies in the league. So there's a collection of stars, and if you're going to start watching hockey, now's the time.
Let's talk about Game 1. Now, the Penguins, they get off to the start. They score 3 goals in the first period. They add 2 more in the third. They grab a 5-3 victory. Going into the Stanley Cup, look, if you look at what Nashville had done, the body of work in the Western Conference, they got there off of their hot defense. You mentioned Pekka Rinne, one of the best goalkeepers in the league, if not the best. He was on a hot streak. Did it shock you that Pittsburgh scored 5 goals in Game 1?
It did, you know, and I really feel that Pekka Rinne has to be better than Matt Murray, the goaltender for the Penguins, to make this series a win for them. Last night he had a couple that he liked back, but a really weird game. You know, I've never seen another game where at a high level, competitive level, where a team went 37 minutes on the game clock without a shot. And that's what happened to the Pittsburgh Penguins. 37 minutes in a row without one shot getting through to Pekka Rinne. A couple of reasons for this. One, that the Nashville D, as you mentioned, did a good job stopping them, keeping them to the outside. And then when they did take shots, they were blocked or deflected away from Pekka Rinne. But then on the 38th minute, when he did get his first shot, Jake Guentzel scores the goal that ultimately proved to be the winner. You know, the Penguins, they're a team I picked to win the Stanley Cup. I thought they would win this series in 6 games. So they're off to a good start as far as being up 1-0. But they did everything to lose this game except score more goals than Nashville. I mean, Nashville played a very good game. They came back. I thought they controlled play for the bulk of it. And for the Penguins, there's a lot of things to not do again, because if they play like they did in the first game, they will not lose, or they will not win Game 2 like they did Game 1.
Again, our guest right now is Jason Shrewdwick. He's with TSN 1260 in Edmonton. He's also a former NHL defenseman himself, spent some time with the Edmonton Oilers and the New York Rangers. Jason, let's talk in particular here about Nick Bonino. Last night, he does score 2 goals. What a way to bounce out of a slump, right? Score 2 goals in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup.
Wow, you know, he's a guy that, you know, they need offense. You know, when the NHL's kind of moved away from, you know, 1 or 2 scoring lines and a checking line is your third line. You know, Bonino centers that third line, and they need him to produce. They don't need him to go crazy. Like last night, I say it was going crazy, but they need him to do something. And last night, he got really lucky. You know, the one backhand went off the defenseman, Matthias Ekholm, into the net. But that being said, it really doesn't matter how. You don't draw a picture on the scorecard, you know, like in golf. They count, they get it done. And I think that'll be a boost to Nick Bonino. You know, they need him scoring. Same with Jake Guentzel. Guentzel had 9 goals, but he hadn't scored in a long time. in the playoffs. So now all of a sudden, he's got a goal, a nice goal, a very good, like a goal scorer's goal. It wasn't a lucky one like with Bonino. This is a legitimate goal. So I think he'll have more confidence. He'll feel better about himself now as he moves along in this playoffs. And that is dangerous if you're the Nashville Predators, because you don't want players feeling good about themselves who have been struggling, you know, the last, let's say, five, six games for the Penguins.
Let's flip and talk about the Predators here for a moment. Is it safe to say that even though they came out on the short end of the stick in a 5-3 setback, they outplayed Pittsburgh for the majority of the game? Is that fair to say?
Oh, 100%. You know, and after the game, P.K. Subban said that. He said, you know what, with all due respect, he said, we deserve better in this game. And I 100% agree with him. When I look what Nashville did, I thought they did a really good job in making life difficult for the Penguins defensemen. The Penguins are without Chris Letang, their all-star defenseman. He's out for the whole playoffs. And they were getting in on top of Penguins and disrupting their breakout so that the Penguins couldn't get nice, clean breakouts. But the Penguins have a lot of fast forwards, like to skate the puck. But if you don't allow those players to get the puck, they're not going to be able to use their speed and attack you with speed. And when they did do it, the top four defensemen for Nashville particularly, they got up and took away the time and space of those forwards. So instead of have a big gap where maybe the Penguins forward gets it at the blue line and the Nashville D-men are at the red line, they were meeting them right at the blue line, so they had no time and space to get going. And you can see it frustrated the Penguins, but more importantly than that, it slowed down their attack. So it made the job a lot easier for the Nashville Predators. When the Penguins did get up the ice, they dumped it in, and they did a bad job of dumping it in. What I mean by that is that they allowed the puck to go behind the net, where Pekka is one of the better puck-playing goalies in the league. He'd stop it and make a quick play to his defenseman. If I'm the Penguins coach, Mike Sullivan, next game I instruct my forwards, just dump it in soft so it dies in the corner, or you can cross corner so it doesn't end up behind the net, where a very good puck handling goalie like Pekka can really make a big difference in this game.
If we stick with the Predators here for a moment, I know that they eliminated Anaheim without Ryan Johansson, but how much is he going to be missed in this series?
Oh, that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem. That's why that reason alone was the reason I chose Nashville to lose to the Penguins in six games. I really think that, he's a guy, he's a big body, he creates offense, and now you look at their centermen. They've got Colton Sissons, who's had a pretty good last few games, but he's not on the level of Sidney Crosby and or Malkin. They've got Mike Fisher, a very capable veteran, who hasn't scored. I don't believe he has a point. Maybe he got 1 point last night, but he doesn't have any offense. So at some point, you need to get offense created from that center position, whether it's through a goal or setting up his line mates for nice goals to score. So I think that's a story we'll see repeated over the course of the seven games. Because, listen, both teams are going to make adjustments. I mean, hockey's all about adjustments. You watch football or baseball or basketball, there's a lot of adjustments that are a little bit more obvious. In hockey, it's a little bit more subtle, but there are constant changes being made. So both teams will look at the film, figure out what they can do better for next game, and there will be adjustments. I think for sure, for Nashville, you keep doing what you're doing, but for the Penguins, they're going to want to get back to the puck quicker, get it up to the forward so they can use their speed. And that is where you don't have a guy like Johansson that can hold the puck down low and take up time and take up space. Now, that's where Nashville is really going to find a problem when Penguins make some adjustments.
Jason, I want you to talk to a fringe fan here for just a moment, because when you mention great athletes in the four major sports here in the United States, with hockey, it's kind of synonymous with Sidney Crosby. I mean, that's the name that you will directly correlate to hockey, at least here in the States. So with that being said, it's somewhat special to have somebody of Crosby's caliber back in the Stanley Cup, and the Penguins are looking to become the first repeat champions, I think, since like 1998, right, with the Detroit Red Wings, if I remember correctly. So it's a unique situation to begin with.
It sure is, and it's not every year that the star players in NHL make it to the finals. There's very good teams. You look at the NBA finals, and the best way I can explain is, LeBron James has been now in seven finals in a row, which is a ridiculous stat to think about. But it's smaller. There's only five guys on the court at one time. And that player, LeBron, if he needed to, could play the whole game. That's a very real possibility. On this other side, same with the Golden State Warriors. They've got guys that can play the whole game, a lot of stars. But with hockey, you know, your player, your best player, your best defenseman, he might only play 25 minutes of the 60. So that's a big difference. So he's not even on for half the game. And that may only be, you know, maybe 10, 15 players in the NHL could play those kind of minutes on a, you know, during the regular season. Playoffs, it goes up a bit. And for forwards, maybe they get to 22, 23, 24 minutes. There's so much skating. So it really does take a good team. You need your stars, but you have to have good depth underneath it. And that's what the Penguins have done a good job, surrounding Sidney Crosby with good depth players, good character players, that can help, you know, push him to the final. But, you know, Sidney Crosby's now, this is his fourth time, I believe, to the final in his career. And, you know, if he's lucky, he might get here one or two more times before his career is over. It's very difficult to do, very hard to get there. And so now's the time to tune in and see one of the greatest players of his generation, and quite frankly, of the entire NHL history, in action.
You did mention adjustments for Game 2. Is it a must-win for Nashville? Do you view Game 2 tomorrow night as a must-win?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, they're very comfortable playing at home. That Nashville building is a loud one. And if you're not familiar with where the rink is, it's right on Broadway, and there's a strip of country bars a mile long. It's a great place. I used to love going there. After the game, you'd shower and sprint to the bar as fast as you could. So you beat the coaches. So the coaches wouldn't be able to get the top country music bars. But it's going to be a great place. So I think that, you know, it'd be important for them to win, but it's not all lost, because they can come home and they can win their two games at home. And now all of a sudden you have a best of three. So it would be ideal, but I would not be distraught if I was Nashville. Especially if they play again well, then they're like, you know, guys, we can win game three, game four. We take this down to a best of three. And we know we played well in Pittsburgh. We can come back and win one game in Pittsburgh, because that's all it takes. You just have to win one on the road, and you've got four wins.
Again, Jason Strudwick, former NHL defenseman, joining us on the air right now. Jason, it was definitely a pleasure to get some insight on the Stanley Cup. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, you know, I work on, so I'm a co-host of the Drive Time show here in Edmonton, TSN 1260. So you can find it on online or a different place. On my Twitter handle is Jason_Strudwick. But I'll come on anytime you want to talk hockey, I'm your guy.
Hey, I'm going to reach out to you here relatively soon. It was great to get some insight, especially from a former player. So, Jason, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Former NHL defenseman Jason Strudwick joining us here on Drive Time Sports to break down Game 1 of the NHL Stanley Cup. We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.